Welcome to the Unbreakable Mindset Podcast, your burst of weekly inspiration to keep your mindset on track to manifest your greatest desires. I am Jude Daunt, your host, a world-renowned mindset coach, helping my clients and now you, the listener, to break free of the mental struggle, find contentment, meaning, and purpose in your life. I have an amazing guest on the show today. I am working so hard in the background, guys, to get you some guests that you are going to get so much from their story and you're going to be so inspired by the people that you're going to be listening to. And this lady, I have followed her journey for a while. I'll figure out how long it is I've been following your journey when we figure out the story.
Yeah.
And I love her business. I order from her business. And we've never had a conversation until now. She doesn't know that I've been fangirling her at all in the background. And I've watched the journey, and it's something that I talk about to clients when I want to give them an inspiring story of somebody who had an idea and it's became something so much more than that. So, Steffi, I only just discovered, because you booked in with your name, that your surname's Smith. And this is Steffi Smith from the Chocolate Smiths. I did not know. How many people go, I did not know your surname was Smith?
A lot of people go, oh, I get it now. Yeah.
If I start off the story, mm-hmm. you started off with how many products when you just came up with the Chocolate Smiths idea?
Oh, six, I think. Six chocolate bars. And then that... Once we got six chocolate bars kind of sorted, then that turned into also three hot chocolates and also lollies and also this and also that, because, you know, when you're creating something, you just don't stop. And especially in the beginning, you don't know when to stop. You keep creating until you think, this range is far too big for me to maintain.
Well, there was only you at that point.
Myself and my business partner, who is called Amy. So she actually left the business a few years in. I'm sure we'll get into that. But she and I remained great friends. And it's just, Amy started the business with me. She got a full-time job somewhere else while I started making all the chocolate from my kitchen at home, using like a jug, a microwave, and enough bar molds to make 30 bars at a time. So I didn't have like any chocolate machines or anything like that. I started on Time Out Market, and Amy was doing like the graphic design for the business, and kind of 6 months in is when Amy then came full-time into the business. So I did have a business partner then.
So we start out at, and this is what I always say, Steffi started out selling chocolate at Time Out Market. Like, that was where you started, which essentially, if you're not from the Northeast, is just a kind of a version of a farmer's market where individuals go to sell things that are startup businesses and things where they've designed homemade stuff, and it's lovely and it's a really, really nice place to go. But that's where you started. My question, my burning question for you, and we'll get onto your growth and how crazy it is and how big the Chocolate Smiths are in a second. What was your goal for the business at the time? Where did you imagine the Chocolate Smiths going?
So I thought we were going to be this massive brand. We were going to get into like all the premium department stores, and we were going to be in like Selfridges and Harrods, and you know, obviously Phoenix is like a staple in the Northeast as well. So, you know, I was only 22 and I'm very much a go with the flow kind of girl, but my goal then was, I would probably say weekly, because I was mostly focusing on wholesale. So every single day I filled my diary with making chocolate ready for the market, and then ring this person, ring that person. Has that person answered? Get that person's name. Get in touch with the right person. Make up some samples for this place. Like, drive to this place. Go and see them. Oh, and these people are on the way, so you're going to go and see them too. And every time we kind of got a stockist, I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's a step in the right direction. Like, people are interested in the chocolate. But eventually, I had this vision in my head that it was going to be this huge, massive corporation, I guess.
Wow. Right. Okay. So that wasn't the answer I expected. Because, I mean, to be fair, you've got that now. That has manifested for you. Like, you are huge.
It's very, very different from how I imagined it. I thought I'd be walking, like, I wouldn't even want what I'd imagined, like, for myself now, because you change so much as a person, I think, in your 20s anyway. And, you know, I didn't really have a set vision other than I'm going to be very businessy and very, which is just not me at all. Like, I'm going to have a briefcase. I'm going to dress very smartly every day. And I'm like, and I never envisioned myself being so heavily social media based. I think I thought we'd just be selling to shops.
Before we go on to one of the biggest stories of the Chocolatesmiths that people might not know, if you follow the Chocolatesmiths, you will know this. Because obviously you said a little bit there that your goal was to get into stores. When did you get into Selfridges and how long did those things last for? Because you did you get into Selfridges and did you get into Phoenix? And
yeah, so I started the business in, well, it was like January 2014, and in April we were in Phoenix. So Phoenix was a massive goal of mine, and they were one of our biggest stockists. We were in a lot of independent places around the Northeast as well. We actually did a bespoke range for the Duchess of Northumberland, for Alnwick Gardens, and Selfridges. Ooh, maybe didn't happen for like 2 or 3 years. But they were really, really hard to get into, really hard. And then when eventually they were like, we're interested, they were like, right, well, we can't buy it at that price, so you're going to have to make the price lower. So I thought I was weighing it up, honestly, because this was at the point when it was kind of make or break for the Chocolatesmiths. Like, I was like, it could be like another Phoenix, because Phoenix was selling so much of our chocolate. But we weren't really making enough money at that point either. So I was like, it's a good opportunity. It's good exposure. It's good to say, you know, your brand is in Selfridges. And I was having an hour in and I said, okay, well, we can do it for the price that you need it for. So we did. And they then put a premium markup on what we were selling it at anyway. So it was a bit heartbreaking. Jesus. I just felt like it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Maybe I approached it the wrong way. I think I've learned so much since then. I'd probably approach it a bit differently now. But we were kind of put with all the American candy and, you know, like, I think especially, like, if you know the chocolate system, you know I'm very much about the people and the fact that it's handmade and why is it so special. Like, it's made in the UK. It's, like, supporting people in jobs and it's, you know, all these kind of things that I was passionate about kind of got really lost, I think. So, and also the payment terms are just insane when you go into those places as well. It's like 60 days waiting from the date they actually get it. So it's not all it's cracked up to be. But as I say, I think it was partly lack of knowledge on my part. I would probably approach it a bit differently now, I think, if that opportunity was to arise again. But also, I feel like I think now I would probably go into like a small independent coffee shop or something like that instead. I just prefer dealing with them.
I saw you put something out there the other day on your Instagram saying, where would you like to see us?
Yes.
So that is you getting back into the smaller places.
It is, yeah. And I feel like now, back then, we didn't have a social media presence at all. So, well, a small one on Facebook, pretty much. I don't think I really realised the power of social media and all this stuff, but like now I feel like we'll have a bit more of a reputation. Honestly, like our products now, I've always been proud of what we do, but I never, people might be surprised to hear this, but like I never got into the Chocolatesmiths to be a chocolatier. I got into the Chocolatesmiths to run a business. Like that's what I've wanted to do. I've always wanted to run a business and create a happy place to work. Yeah, so I love food and I love chocolate and I'm really passionate about the products that we make, but I know that that is not my forte, and which is why now I have such an amazing team in the kitchen who they put me to shame. I think when they make chocolate, like they're amazing, they're perfectionists, and they do such a fantastic job. And I love creating the bar initially, and then I always always say it'll be like that, but better, because Sophie would have made it. Like, so when I, like, create something. So, yeah, like, I feel like now I'm so much more proud of, well, I literally swell with pride when I'm, like, when I just did a market, and we don't often do markets, and I'm, like, looking at all of our bars and watching people try them, and their faces are lighting up, like, it's amazing, I've had the best chocolate I've ever had, like, they love it, and I feel so passionate about giving people that feeling, and I feel so proud of what we do now. So I feel like now I can proudly say, you know, people will come back and buy this in your shop, and we've got a good reputation behind us. We know we have customers in your area now because we can see exactly where everyone's purchasing from on our website. So I feel like we've got a lot more behind us now when we're approaching like a shop, and there's some really cool independents that I think like our chocolate would sit really well in as well. And I love making those relationships. So it's all about the relationship.
Yeah. I saw that and I love the idea of me going into a random shop that, you know, I could just be anywhere, and I go in a random shop and, oh my God, they sell the chocolate smiths. Like, that's quite exciting. Versus, you know what you can get in Sainsbury's, you know what you can get in Asda, but going into a little quirky little gift shop or whatever, or an independent, and all of a sudden they sell a chocolate smiths. I am such a fan of, one, your chocolate. So if anyone follows me on Instagram and you've seen me unbox the chocolate and get excited, then this is the chocolate. This is where it's from, the chocolate smiths. And I am, like, me, my son are such huge fans of the chocolate. And if I tell you, the best thing for me to do is almost describe, this is going to be really weird for you, I'm going to describe my version of your story, and then you're going to fill in all the gaps, because you guys are so present on social media, and even going back to when there was just two or three of you in the team, you had such a big presence on social media, and where you are now is still the version of that, but, you know, ridiculous amount of size bigger. So my version of your story is, right, is that I was on Instagram, somehow I found you, don't know how I found you, because I definitely didn't see the chocolate bar in a Fenix or something like that. I found you on social media, and I remember being, I was in Italy on holiday with my husband's family, and we were sat and I was like, Sally, look at this chocolate. This looks amazing. I was like, I'm definitely ordering some of this when I get back. And I didn't want to just order it. I wanted to go, come down to the shop, and I brought my nieces and I brought my daughter, and I came down to the shop and we bought whatever you had on offer at the time. And I was like, girl, just grab a bar. It did, even though it was like a small shop, and if I was going to describe it, it's like originally probably would have been like a little sandwich shop or something, like small premises. But in my head, it was like a Willy Wonka moment. Like, I felt excited about the product because that's how you guys show up. You are excited all the time about your product, and that's how you sell it. So I was excited about getting the chocolate, and I got it. And then I continued to follow you. And as a follower, I saw your growth from, so pre being in that shop, tell me roughly what your Instagram followers were before we go on to the next bit, which obviously you know about. So, roughly how many followers did you have?
I think from like 2019 to like 2020, it must have taken 2 years to build up like 50,000 followers or something like that. Yeah. So it's 50,000 followers it took.
Okay. So let's say 50,000 followers, and that is unreal to get to that point. Like, it is hard to get followers on Instagram. It's not easy. So you've got 50,000 followers. As a watcher, as a customer, what I knew about your company was, one, that you were really excited about your product. Two, it was really individual. It was unique. You couldn't get it anywhere else. This was handmade chocolate. Three, you were adorable in supporting and championing other businesses. So that's when you brought on collab bars, and you would take your product, mash it almost, not literally, with merge it with somebody else's product. So they got access to your audience. They got access to your customers. You built their business up. You created this amazing product, and it was like limited edition. You would open the phone lines, but it wasn't. You would open it on the website and they would go in minutes. It was nuts. Like, absolutely nuts. You would go, guys, it's gone live. And if I wasn't setting a reminder to get these collab bars, you would miss out. But then you would do another one a few weeks later or 2 weeks later, etc. So I remember that bit and still being excited about the chocolate smiths and watching you guys was lovely. And then something crazy happened. And what was the crazy thing that happened?
Basically, we'd just done so well since we started uploading on Instagram. So we got to these 50,000 followers and we were climbing up the walls in our premises. Like, I knew we had to move. actually the year before I saw a unit come up and I thought, that's amazing, that's ideal, but now it's just not the right time. Oh, well, those units go so quickly. And then I remember it was October, must have been October 2020, and the unit came up, the same unit. And I was like, oh, because that just doesn't happen. So I went for it. And we kitted it out, completely kitted it out. And we moved in there. We had to close for like 2 months. So it was like, quickly, quickly, quickly get the premises done, set up. We need to start making money again. Because, you know, like 2 months, or it might have even been 3 months of no income, like for a business, small business.
Oh, it's really such hard. a risk, isn't it? Yeah.
We actually could have done with a couple more weeks before we reopened, but also we got reopened. Got to take some money. So we reopened, I think it was like 20th of February or something like that in 2021. And then like 3 days later, Joe Wicks gave us a massive shout out on Instagram. So Joe Wicks had been buying our chocolate since Christmas. And I'd had a few conversations with him because I saw he'd messaged us and I voice messaged him back. I said, oh my goodness.
As you do.
I was like, I'm just going to do it. I was feeling clearly pretty confident at the time. I said, oh my goodness, it's you. Thank you for following. And he bought a load of chocolate and he loved it. And then I think he was watching our journey. And when we had moved into our premises, he gave us a shout out. So it wasn't just a, here's a picture of the chocolate shout out. It was a, I love the chocolate Smiths because XYZ, like, and he went through a bit of our story and being an entrepreneur. And overnight it went from like 50,000 followers to like 132,000 followers. And then more, because that kept growing for a while. And we sold out of chocolate completely. And the whole reason it moved into this premises was to be able to dispatch chocolate the same day. So it was a brilliant problem to have. And luckily, I had, well, not on this scale, but I had dealt with having longer turnaround times before because before Joe Wicks even, we had to keep closing because we couldn't keep up with the demand. So, and then this was like that, but like 10 times that. It was just mad.
So as a watcher, I knew that you could only open your website at certain times to release the chocolate, and then you'd have to close the website so you could make it, and then you'd restock and open the website. I mean, how many companies have to do that? Like, it's nuts. Anyway, before the Joe Wicks event. So then you move premises and everyone's thinking this is going to be amazing because you'll be able to get chocolate. Like, literally just hit order, and it'll come within a few days. And then Joe Wicks, like, yes, as you say, a lovely problem to have. And I remember watching Sean and my husband going, look, oh my God, they've got 70,000 followers. Oh my God, it's 100. Like, you must have been doing the same. I was just obsessed watching your growth on Instagram. It was nuts.
I don't even really remember. You know, it was all a bit of a blur, but it was amazing. And I was on a high because I thought, wow, like, we are so lucky. Like, I can't believe this has happened to us. This is something you see happening to other people. But I was like, we've been given such an amazing opportunity, like lifeline here. I don't want to waste it. It was just amazing. And I'll tell you what is mad, how angry people can get about not being able to get chocolate. That was crazy.
I felt like, do you know what? I felt like throughout that time as a watcher, I felt like you were apologising a lot, and I felt really sorry for you because I thought, do you know what? You don't need to apologise. Like, you're a business who's done incredibly well. And it felt like all the time that you couldn't celebrate it because you were having to almost defend yourself a lot of the time as to like why the chocolate couldn't go out and why people were having to wait and all this type of thing. And it's nuts because on the outside, like on paper, rather, this should be the best thing ever. You've moved into premises. You've now got this massive platform to sell to. You've got to quickly take on staff. And within how long did you then move premises again? Because it was really quick, wasn't it, that you moved premises again?
Well, Joe Wicks shout us out in the February, and I think I signed the lease for this in the September. So this was still going on in September. Like, we're just selling out of stuff all the time. And the other unit, like, we just couldn't. It was too small. It was just even for storage. Like, the amount of storage you need when you grow is ridiculous. So I'd signed it by then, and work started not long after that.
Let's go on the version of the story. If people are looking from the outside in, you guys are a huge success. From now until this date, you're a huge success. But things that I know as a watcher, and I'm such a mindset people watcher, right? Even things that I knew you were struggling with, watching from the outside in and reading between the lines, was the fact that, yeah, people were getting angry because they were having a wait, or they missed the boat when you opened the website and then they didn't get to order it. The other thing, which I was like, oh my God, God love her. Like, if there was a hot day, you couldn't send the chocolate out because of Royal Mail. Like, who even thinks that's a problem? That's nuts. Like, I remember you coming on and apologizing, going, guys, when we had those crazy heat waves, guys, I can't send the chocolate out or it's not going to come to you in the right condition. So as a watcher, I can see that this journey, although this is like dream come true, because how many staff have you got now?
We've been on a bit of a journey since Joe Wicks anyway, but like now I think we've got around 20 staff.
Mm-hmm. 20 mm-hmm. staff. And now mm-hmm. you've got it to where you want in terms of, again, I'm totally putting words in your mouth, but as a watcher, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I feel like you've got the business to where you want it to be, because if I go online now, I can order chocolate. I'm not waiting for you to open. Like, this is amazing now. Anyone who wanted a piece of the chocolate, Smith, it's available to you. You go on the website, you order the chocolate, it comes within 10 to 12 working days.
Yeah, which we are right now really catching up on. So this was the aim for this year. But honestly, like, since Joe Wicks, it's just been one massive roller coaster, because what I didn't have, and I think what I didn't, now I look back, I know this, like, what I didn't have was experience in dealing with such demand. Luckily, I had dealt with a bit of it, because we'd always kind of been like, sorry guys, gonna have to close the website. And so a lot of our like OGs understood, because we'd operated that way before anyway. Yeah, I didn't have, like, running a business with 9 people in it, or 5 people, to now running a business with 2 premises and 20 people, it's so different. And just the more you grow, obviously the more money you're taking, but the more money you've got to pay out. So that is a big lesson to learn as well. I think, like, there's so many lessons. Hiring people effectively and correctly, hiring the right people. I hadn't, like, quite grasped how we were going to do that properly. It took me a long time to grasp, like, now our hiring process is right. So it took me a long time to, like, grasp that concept. And then it was, where do I fit? Because, like, before Joe Wicks, I was, you know, I was on social media and I was, like, making the chocolate. It was so easy for me to just pull out a camera and be like, look what we're making today. I've created this. And, like, I'm going to set a reminder for that now. But then all of a sudden I wasn't in the kitchen anymore. I was in an office, and, or I was dealing with, you know, other problems, or what we were going to do next. And like, my role massively changed. I felt lost for a very long time. Like, yeah, I felt lost for a very long time, I think. I think only now, this year, I can say, oh, this is how you run a business. Like, I feel like this year, I feel like I've been on an out-of-control motorbike. And this year, I've got my hands on the handles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been nuts, because not only did you have moving premises, even just setting up premises, taking on staff, COVID, where actually your business was still allowed to run. So, which sounds amazing. To anyone else, you go, oh God, well, you were allowed to go to work. Look at you. You were still allowed to sell. But you were pregnant with a little one. And so you've got that to deal with as well. Like, you know, your little one couldn't, you know, go to school. So she couldn't go to school. So you've then got that to deal with. And there's just, I guess the reason why I wanted you on more than anything is that your story is such an inspiration, from somebody who had this dream of making chocolate in her kitchen to where you are now, to the stuff you produce, to the to the everyone's in, like, if you're a fan of the Chocolate Smiths, it feels like you're part of it. Like, it's not a product, you're part of the Chocolate Smiths. Yes. But there's a mindset thing going on here. Like you said, I didn't know how to do all of these things. Like, you've had to learn on the job, and you've had to learn at such a pace that you would have made so many mistakes to be able to then get it right, and all the different things that have gone on within that. So there's very few people have your success, but also have your problem as well. So then who do you talk to? Who gives you advice? Who's your confidant?
Mm-hmm, exactly. This was the problem. And there was people I could talk to. God, I had so many supportive people, but then no idea what they were talking about. Like, so yeah. I had customers with the best intentions. You should do this, you should do that. And then the staff, you know, this is what we need to do. You should do this. We should focus on this. We've got a problem here. Like, how are you going to sort that out? Like, so it was just like a lot at once. There was nobody who had, no one who had dealt with that. No one at all. So I kind of just, I'm pretty relaxed, you know. I don't really stress about having a good problem. I stress when I have a bad problem. Like, do you know what I mean? I always see the good side of things, I think. So I saw that we had a good problem. I didn't see it as a negative thing. And I kind of take every mistake as it's a learning curve. As long as you learn from it, it's not a bad thing.
100%.
So, mm-hmm. No, I didn't have anybody to, I had ears to talk to, but there was nobody who could really give me the proper advice, I think. But there's so many things I look back and I think, gosh, like, you've learned this, you've learned that, there's no point thinking I would have done that differently. What I think is, if that happens again in the future, I'll know now.
You know what to do.
I'll do that differently. Yeah. I know what to do. Yeah, so.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
What was the hardest moment in the last 3 years? What's been the hardest moment, or your top three?
We grew massively in, I've not actually spoken about this. We grew massively in, obviously, the Joe Wicks year. And the following year, we made people redundant. So it was hard. Honestly, because this sounds so silly, but if you followed us for so long, you'll maybe understand, like, Instagram massively changed. It's massively changed.
It was, like, crazy. The algorithms just dropped.
Completely. I feel like I knew that platform like the back of my hand. We had a great relationship with our customers and our community, and I love making people laugh, and I love connecting with people. I'm very, like, honest about how I feel. Some people hate that, but most people love it. I keep doing it because it is definitely the minority that don't enjoy that kind of thing. So, and then Instagram started to change. Like, we were consistently getting like 40,000 story views a day for a long time. And then I remember waking up and one morning and it just like gone to 16,000. And I'm thinking,
so to put it in perspective, right? Put it in perspective. You had how many followers at this point? How many followers have you got or around that time?
This was after Joe Wicks. So it's about 150,000-ish.
So we get it. So even just to put that in perspective, before the algorithm changed and it all went horrific, you've got 150,000, but only 40,000 of that, like a third, will see your stuff. So it does. So your audience, it's like a third that you're selling to effectively, even if you've got 150,000. And then that went down to
16,000. And now it's like I'd never even check the story numbers anymore because it disheartens me that much. It's like 4,000. It's so disheartening how rubbish it's gone. And it makes you second guess yourself. It makes you think, do people not like me? Or we cannot grow our audience anymore. And I know this sounds silly, but that to me has been one of the hardest things to deal with, because if it goes from 40,000 to 4,000 people, you need to think about that in terms of money. Like, whenever I talked about it on the stories, I got a lot of comments saying, it doesn't matter about the numbers. Don't focus on that. And it does matter.
It does
about
when
the
you're
numbers.
A business. Yeah. Because that's how you got products to people. That's how you were in the forefront of your mind. Like,
exactly.
I wouldn't know you were doing Easter eggs. Like, if you hadn't have been doing it on stories, and I'm like an avid follower, so I'm probably one of your 4,000. But how would I know you were doing those amazing Biscoff eggs if I wasn't seeing your stories? Therefore, you wouldn't be able to sell to me.
Sell it, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that has been really hard from going from given, you know, that opportunity with the whole Joe Wicks thing to then almost having it taken, not taken away. I don't mean it like that.
But it kind of is, though. It is. Your business has been taken away from you because your platform got taken away.
Exactly. We're getting high story views before Joe Wicks, like, which is just crazy to think about. So, but then random weekends, it'll be like one weekend, it was like 30,000. That's like once in a blue moon now. So I don't understand. I don't understand how it works. But that I really felt lost for a lot of that period. I felt so disheartened. I felt like I was fighting a losing battle. That's how I felt. I felt like, what's the point in posting on here anymore? Which is awful, but you kind of, you go through the motions. And I think you have to allow yourself to go through the motions to learn from it. But I've kind of used the whole experience as a learning opportunity. So we're on TikTok now. Instead of approaching TikTok with the mindset of, oh, like, we're going to grow our audience massive and we're going to post on here every day and I'm going to put more effort than Instagram or anything like that, it's treat it as if it's going to be taken away tomorrow. How are you going to get a line of communication that isn't social media with those people? And that is one of the biggest things, because when you grow so much, it's really annoying. Like when it was kind of just us in the kitchen back in the day, we kind of just release stuff, we're having so much fun, but when you grow so much, it becomes sometimes quite strategic. And
yeah,
because you have to map out,
because you've got people's wages to pay as well.
You have people you are responsible for. So and I'm not about to not have plans in place, and you know, people are relying on me, so, and customers as well. So how are we going to get a line of communication that isn't like TikTok or Instagram or Facebook? So in comes like the email subscribers. I've never like made it so special before, because I thought we need to do something that is really special. And yeah, that for like the hardcore I Love Chocolate Smiths people. So
yeah.
Everyone that's signed to the newsletter, you know, so.
Which I love, like, huge fan over here. and then you get to hear about the new products and things like that. So that's genius, isn't it? In terms of, you just went back to your original audience and you've said, why don't you sign up to the newsletter? Yes,
newsletter,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm now like, okay, so how can we introduce like a personal aspect and kind of use something as our own social media platform? So we're working on our app at the moment. I'm thinking that's a really good way to actually... And you know what? I've not got to massively worry about the views on that. I feel like people, I'm not going to be checking it like social media and panicking or, you know, anything like that. I feel like if we have a really cool, really special app that gives you exclusive content as well, like that's going to be people who are really seriously interested in what we do.
And I love that, because that makes it easier to buy the chocolate as well. I just scroll and
absolutely,
I'm hitting on the app.
Yeah, exactly. And you can like save your favorites on it. But that's something that we're working on. So although the whole Instagram thing kind of threw me into like this spiral, it's taught me such businessy things, like businessy lessons, which I just relied on Instagram for, which I'm like, you should just never do that. Like I look at TikTok and, you know, some businesses are flying on TikTok, but then there was talk of like, it might be banned. So what if that happened? You have to think about these things. What if that happened? So I would never have thought about that had this whole thing with Instagram not happened, I think. I think I would have just thought, until the day comes, I don't have to worry about it. So what I'm doing now is I'm kind of over that whole spiral of social media thing, and I'm just enjoying it. I'm just enjoying it now.
Which is where you started, enjoying
exactly.
it and being
yes.
it being fun and it being something that was a platform to be silly on. Like, and that's not, like, if anyone watches The Chocolate Smith, you'll know that's not a derogatory comment. Like, they, you guys are silly and funny and, like, relaxed and laid back and get people on board with it. Like, it's not every day you're going, here's a chocolate bar, here's a chocolate bar, here's a chocolate bar. It's not that. It's like people get to know who works in the Chocolatesmiths, and you kind of then, you know, it would be really weird if you walk past a member of your staff in the street, because they would be a little bit Insta famous because you know them, because they're talking about chocolate all the time, or what you guys are doing, or what you guys are working on. And that's lovely what you guys have built there. I love the fact that you've said, you know, I get that there's nice problems to have, so I really try and focus on the solutions rather than the problem. There will be plenty of people who start off with a product and go to a Tynemouth market, and because they only sell 5 that day, oh, what's the point? And they give up. And what I loved about your story, and this is where everyone needs to have their ears so open. Some people will just show up on the day. They make the chocolate, they show up on the day, they sell it. You weren't doing that. Throughout the week, you were acting as if it was the business that it is now. You were thinking about how to get more business in, who could you go to, who could get your product out. You were already thinking like a business that had 20 staff even at that point. And I know you've said you've learned so much along the way, but there will be people who don't treat the business like that. They'll see it as a side hustle to start off with, as something that, you know what, it's a Sunday thing. It's when I go to the Sunday market. So what advice would you give to someone starting out? And what advice would you give to Steffi going through the tough bits that she's went through?
Okay. Someone starting out, I would say, well, these kind of connect. So something I would also tell myself. No one will give you, I mean, maybe family and friends might go, wow, that's mint, but no one's going to give you a pat on the back. You are your own boss. You must be the driver of your own business, like, and your determination. When things are financially bad, your love for what you do, that's the only thing that is going to get you through that bit, because money doesn't. When it feels like there's no way up or no way out, you have to be able to become resilient in that way. Not resilient as in you can't feel disappointed or sad. That's a natural emotion. I think people get that really wrong. Like, you have to be tough. No, you can cry. That's fine. But you've got to get back up, and you've got to get back on it. And you have to get used to the fact that when stuff grows, no one is going to come and say to you, like, if you're constantly always giving praise out, all the time. And I think you have to get used to the fact that that is your role. You are the giver of the praise. You very rarely get it back. And that's fine. So you have to become quite comfortable with that, I think.
Yeah. So if you're doing this to seek approval from other people, the approval will never come. You have to be your own approval stick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to. And I don't know. What else? What have I learned? I have learned that your standards in your personal life also reflect the standards in your business life.
Wow, that's interesting.
I think so, massively. With the people you want in your life, the people then you want in your business, what standards you hold for yourself, and you've got to be very tough on them. You've got to really stand by your own standards, and they have to be high standards as well. Whether that...
So did you change your personal life to match your business, or how did that work, and what's coming up for you there as you're saying that?
I think the way I talk to myself has had to change. It's really hard because the Chocolatesmiths is also a lot of me as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's the other way around. So what I've learned in the business, I've then implemented into my personal life as well. So in terms of sticking by your guns, no, I need it done that way. So it has to be done that way. Not being lenient on those things. And kind of the same in my personal life as in, well, no, you know, I don't really want to go to that thing. So what do I want to do? Where do I want to spend my time? Like that kind of thing. What's good for me as well?
What's going to fill your cup?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the way it's kind of changed my personal life and the way I'm prioritizing things as well. I'm prioritizing a lot more time with my little girls now. So I've realized, because Charlotte is 2.5, so, and Faith is 6. And I realized that when Faith was little, I'm now spending all this time with Charlotte with her being this age. I never did that with Faith. So I'm like, okay, well, that happened and it was necessary at the time, but I think this is at the point now where I need to work smarter so I can have this time with my girls mm-hmm. and pick them up from school and have tea with them.
Oh, wow,
and
good for you.
Yeah, so, yeah, honestly.
That's huge.
It's
huge.
Massive. It's yeah. absolutely massive. Because when last year was very stressful, obviously we're going through some tough times, like financially with the business, after redundancies. And it was after the redundancies, actually, 2 months later, we got extremely busy again. So then we were short-staffed and then people were on holiday and we had heat waves. It was just a lot. And I kind of thought, you get imposter syndrome. You think, how could you let it get to this point? And then you start talking to yourself not very nicely. And it was at that point when I was just so stressed. I was just not being a very good mum. And that is when I made the decision, come the new year, when Christmas is out of the way, no more, no matter what. No more. Nothing is worth being like this. And that's what I've done. And I've actually done a lot of this manifestation kind of thing.
Yay! Yeah, I wasn't even going to ask you about manifestation, but I love manifestation. Go for it. Tell me.
I'm looking into it a lot more now because I think I've subconsciously been doing a lot of that since that point anyway. And stuff's working. And I'm like, oh, this manifestation thing kind of works, doesn't it? So, I've been doing a lot of that as well. And it's mad, like, the change in mindset and what that can do for you.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So mm-hmm. I haven't... So Steffi and I had a brief conversation before I hit record, and it was me just explaining why I'd wanted Steffi on the podcast. And then telling her about my story. And I never mentioned the word manifestation, but manifestation, I know, saved my life. I talk about it in an earlier podcast because I'd restricted myself so much growing up and thinking that this is all you'll ever have. You're not smart enough to do anything more than what you've got and all this type of thing. There's a lot of negative limitations I'd put on myself. And when I found out about manifestation, and I was like really early on, like mid-20s, and I'm 42 now, so I'm like old hat at it. I realized there was a different way to think. Like, I realized that you could essentially have anything you want. It's like going back to being a child with the Argos catalog and being able to go, oh, but if I want that for myself, like, I know, and I love how you say about spending more time with kids and being able to pick them up. I have a 16-year-old and a 5-year-old. And the 16-year-old, I was a single parent working up and down the country, would have to be on the phone to my mum every Sunday going, right, I'm in Manchester Monday night. Can you pick her up, give her tea? I'll be back to take her home to bed, all that type of thing. So there was always a schedule. And I remember saying to my mum, it won't be like this forever. I promise. I'll figure it out. I'll do something else. And it came to us one night that I thought, God, coaching did so much for me. That's my route to become a coach. And then I made the goal of, before she gets to secondary school, I have to be doing it full time because I know how I struggled at secondary school. I wanted to be there for her when she got home. And it happened because I found my husband just before she went to secondary school. Not literally found him on the street. Obviously, Tinder was involved. And we met and it was amazing. And then we had my son, I think the year before she started big school. And that allowed me to then lift off the full time and go full time with the coaching. And now I get to pick both of them up from school. I pick the little one up from primary and then I go to the secondary school, which is another 15 minutes away. And there's not a day goes by when I am not thankful for that. And I think the lovely thing that both of us will have is that we remember what it's like when we didn't get to do that. So it's like, it's so lush. Like, I love standing in that schoolyard picking him up and he gets to come to me and knowing that I'm not stressed when I'm making the tea. I'm not thinking about anything else. I have to say I work 6 days a week. I know there was a time when I couldn't do that. So doing it is just the best. But, and Steffi will, I'm sure, be on this, is that you have to decide that's what you want. You have to, and I decided that's what I wanted. And I didn't think, oh, it'll never happen. I was like, how can I make it happen? And then, do you know what? I feel like you can't sit there with manifestation going, wouldn't it be nice if? But if you're not thinking about I know every manifestation book will say, don't think about the how, don't think about the how. I think you have to think about some of the how, or else you can't put actions in place. And then opportunities come up, things happen, and everything aligns. And then that's when the magic happens. So tell me then, what do you think you've manifested since you started thinking about manifestation?
Okay. So it sounds really weird. Last year, every launch kind of was a bit hit or missy. Sometimes it would go really well. So I feel like I was so unsure of myself. I was unsure about everything else that was going on around me. So January comes this year, and we have a big Easter launch at the end of the month. And I think I spent about a week in the beginning of January being, oh God, what if it doesn't go very well? And then something just changed. Instead of saying, what if this year is the worst year we've ever had? I started saying, what if this year is the best year we ever have? And then imagining every single day that Easter launch, being so happy at how well it had gone and how amazing it had gone. And then it happened and it went mint. It went like surpassed expectations. And I was so flabbergasted. I was like, this works. This thing works. Like this whole manifestation thing, it works. Because I've been in that mindset, I feel like I've been given, this sounds probably so weird.
My audience love this, so crack on.
Great. Well, I've been giving out that vibe of,
yeah,
this is amazing. This is fantastic. Like, I'm so excited, because I was so excited. And rather than forcing that and forcing to look like that, I genuinely felt like that. And after that, it continued to go really, really well consistently. And it's still going well very consistently, because I've switched my mindset. I can't even explain it. I've just switched my mindset. Don't get me wrong, it's not natural to be positive 100% of the time. Like, you have the moments where you feel negative, or you know, you're not being very nice to yourself, or I think it's quite natural to do things like that. But like, for the most part, I've been really like, you know, manifesting all these events going well and things going well. And like, it's just mad how it's worked.
I mean, hands down, my favorite product has been your Easter product, which was the Biscoff eggs. Like, I've been one of those ones that I do an order and then it'll probably be a few months or 6 months before I do another order. And I think consecutively, it's probably every 2 weeks for those Biscoff eggs. And I ordered three lots of them, like three parcels rather. There was more in the parcels, I have to say. That and your, oh God, the coffee. Oh my God, it's the best chocolate in the world.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I love it. Like, honestly, I am so proud of everything that we put out now. I'm like looking at our market stall and I'm like, nobody makes chocolate like this. Show me another company that makes chocolate like this. Nobody makes chocolate like this.
Nobody. That coffee one is unreal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's one of our like best sellers, the coffee and Stroop waffle.
Because it actually tastes like bloody coffee. There's so many coffee chocolates that don't taste like coffee. That tastes like coffee. It is the best.
Good.
Everyone, best coffee, best chocolate in the world. So tell me what the, and you don't need to give business secrets away, but whatever you want to tell us, what is the Chocolate to Miss Scott coming up that we can get excited about, that people can go follow, that people can get on board with? What's exciting that's coming up?
Oh, goodness me.
What's your goal for the business this year? Because, like, it's great that people can go on the business now and just go, oh, I can order some chocolate.
Yeah, you know what? So many people do not realise that. We still get so many comments saying, you're always sold out, I can never get it. And
No. Yeah. You're not sold out. I can go on now and get it. Yeah.
Okay, so our goal this year is to just continuously get better at everything, from the chocolate making to the creating to the getting you involved, getting, you know, all of our community involved. I mean, we've got this Eurovision inspired chocolate bar competition thing coming up, and that is a lot of fun. We have so much stuff coming. We have plans for Halloween, we have plans for Christmas, stuff that we've never done before, and the vegan range is expanding. Like, and we really pride ourselves on this vegan range because it's great for everybody, not just vegans, and it's made in a separate kitchen. I mean, we've got a kids range coming out there. We'll be launching our spreads as well, so you'll be able to buy the fillings from inside the chocolate bars in spread form.
Wow.
Yeah, so we are not stopping. We've got truffles coming up. We've got just on more collaborations, just more of what we're about. And
yeah,
there's just so many ideas as well we've had to put on the back burner because people are like, Steffi, we cannot physically fit this year. What are you thinking? So, yeah, just loads of stuff, loads.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on. It has been a joy to talk to you. I was so excited. Aww. When I saw that the team had managed to get you booked in and that you'd book. I was like, at first, obviously, I didn't recognize the name because mm-hmm. How do I say your full name?
Oh, Stefania. It's Polish.
Stefania, right. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Stefania Smith, I was like, booked in for a podcast recording. And then I was like, Smith, oh my god, it can't be. And then I was like messaging the team going, this is amazing, I can't believe it, because I tried to get you another way by going through Instagram, which is obviously the wrong way, because I know you have somebody dedicated just to your social media now, haven't you?
We do. I try and jump on there when I can, but like also the whole ADHD thing, like some days it's really bad, other days I'm like on it, so some days I'm like, your brain just can't look at messages or emails. It's just not in the mood for it.
When did you discover you had ADHD?
That was 2 years ago now. So it was the year that Joe Wicks mentioned us, and it made a lot of my life make sense, actually. Wow. So, sometimes it's really annoying because, this morning even, I get really annoyed when it affects other people's jobs.
We'll round this off, right? But I know there's so many people who are figuring out they've got ADHD, they've got some form of quirkiness, let's say that, right? You know, even Richard Branson talks about this in terms of his dyslexia. It's his superpower. It's not something that debilitates him. And your ADHD will have massively driven your business forward. But all you need now is to understand that you now need, so that never happens again, a check-in system. Yeah. So somebody doubles and triple checks before that goes to the printer. But that's just like, I've got a lovely client who calls it the workarounds. What is the workaround needed? Because your brain wants to do this and it's really creative and it's driving the business forward. But you also need some sort of system and process in place because your brain's going to do those things and remember things differently or do something else. And actually, it just needs a simple, let's get that form done or something at the design point or whatever. Like, there'll be a workaround. But I love how you didn't beat yourself up about it. You were just like, oh!
I get annoyed at myself at the time. But then I move on from it because I'm quite used to doing things like this. I just think, oh, well. But I'm lucky that, like, I work very closely with Vicky, who's the general manager. And Vicky's, like, amazing. Like, she's just like, are you sure that's right, Steffi? I was just check that, Steffi.
Happy days. So she works around it. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, this has been unbelievable. I'm buzzing that I got you on. And obviously, I will be getting off now and ordering more chocolate. And I'll pop your details underneath here. So if you want to go and follow the Chocolatesmiths, I mean, it's not hard to find. It's called the Chocolatesmiths. You can't misspell that on Instagram. And definitely go and try out the chocolate. They are amazing. And thank you so much for being open and honest, because from the outside looking in, it looks like this huge success story. And I just knew I wanted to get into the mindset of somebody who's had to go through the ups and downs of what, do you know what? We can all get what we wanted, but sometimes it's the journey to get there is tough. And the reason why people get there is because you didn't give up. You didn't give up when it got tough. You kept on going. There's plenty of times you could have gave up and you kept on going. And now the business gets to grow with you rather than ahead of you.
Yes,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unbreakable Mindset podcast with me, your host, Jude Daunt. If you have enjoyed this episode, then please do share with others. And it would mean a huge deal to me if you would rate, review, follow and subscribe on your podcast app. This will allow the podcast to keep growing and going to new audiences. And if you want to know all the ways in which you can work with me directly, please visit judontcoaching.co.uk. The links will be in the show notes.